The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
Well, Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you to teach us. We welcome your spirit to infect us and to change us. So, Lord, come, we pray, and help the preacher. Amen. Take a seat. Just to let you know that it's school holidays time, so that's why we've got the kids and the youth in. But if you have a young child who looks like they will rip the furniture apart. We have some activity packs, I think. Paul, do we have them anywhere? Just at the back there, and come to Paul. They're there for you. And while the children are swamping Paul, I just want you to turn to one another. And I want you, now, first of all, look at me. I want you to close your eyes. I'll be the last thing you ever see. No. Just close your eyes for me. Please just be patient. Close your eyes. And I want you, it's dark, isn't it? I want you to think about one person who has affected your life really positively, who you hold up as a role model. Right. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell them, if you can remember their name, and three character traits that you liked about them, that really inspired you. Off you go. And if you say Jesus, you're cheating. Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. And something for a little quiz for everybody. A little quiz for everybody. I want you to look at that. Don't say any names to anybody. Don't share the names to anybody. I want you to look at those. And just try it. No sharing the names. Okay? Now remember them. Well done, everybody. People are interested in people. People are people watchers. You are watching me. but I'm watching you. We always watch. We always pay attention. People actually are more interested in how we behave than what we say. Look at politicians. I'm starting to watch House of Cards at the moment. Oh my goodness me. It's so exciting. I almost didn't want to come to church today. It was so exciting. But Jesus was here, and you were as well. But I've come to meet Jesus, and you're a byproduct because Jesus is in you. So that's wonderful. So I'm meeting Jesus looking at you. Isn't that wonderful? People are more interested in the walk than the talk. They want to know not the stuff that comes out. They want to know if you practice it. Do you live the things that you profess? We're in this series on living to lead. And we're looking at this whole principle and understanding that actually no one can live on this earth without affecting somebody else, either for the positive or for the negative. How you engage will be how engaging you are. Last week we looked at Jesus, the servant leader, and we were learning that actually Jesus led by taking the lowest place. Do you remember that? He said, I will serve you. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Instead of many, I will give my life for you. Our lives, therefore, he says, if you love one another, do as I have just done for you. Serving is the key to transformation. The thing that we find most difficult is to serve. I know I do. But actually, it's the thing that changes my heart again and again. This week, we're going to be looking at Paul. We're looking at characters through the Bible, just pulling them out, just showing them around. Paul's coming out for a little bit of a trip today. Paul being the training leader. Did you hear what Paul said in the book of Philippians to the church in Philippi? I'm sure you were listening. I'm sure you were, especially Elijah. Said this, whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Oh, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Someone's moved 1 Corinthians in my Bible. It's easier if you've got some sort of electronic thing. He says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Extraordinary thing. Paul saying, follow me. Being a leader means having the ability to influence others. And we were looking at that last week. We were using John Maxwell's quote. He says, leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. You have the power of influence over people in your family. How you behave influences how they behave towards you. If you're lazy, mum and dad will kick you up the bum. How you behave will determine how they behave to you. If you don't want to get kicked up the bum, you get out of bed. That's the way it is. How we behave determines the course of our life. And it's the same with how we behave with our employees, how we behave with our boss, how we behave at church. We set an expectation with our behavior. Now, many people, of course, will say, oh, no. I don't like the term leader. It doesn't fit well. It means that actually I've got some responsibility. Well, wake up. Jesus has given you responsibility to follow him with everything that you've got and to lead the world in the following of him. You might say, well, actually, follower, I love the word follower. I can be a follower. I can be a servant, but a leader, look at Jesus. Jesus led the way by what he did, not by what he necessarily said. What he said backed up what he did. When we understand that actually our lives are influencing others, then we'll understand that there is no help for us but to lead. That doesn't mean bossing around. It means living by example. Have you got a teacher or someone that you go, "Phew, I really want to be like that person"? Or maybe one of those pictures on the list. You want to be like that person? I bet you there are also people that you go, "There's no way I want to be like that." You see, there's no middle ground. There are gray people who influence absolutely nobody, but they're gray and you don't notice them. That's what the spy world calls a gray person, because they can't pick them out from the crowd. They're really good at hiding. But actually, we're never called to be gray. We're called to be full of the Spirit of God, set on fire to change the world. Friends, this is your life. Not the television program, but this is your life. And you are at the center of it, which is where our lives tend to be. We're quite self-focused, aren't we? So that's us there. Now, in our lives, in all of our lives, whether you are at school or whether you are retired, there will always be someone who's slightly ahead of you. That could be a teacher, that could be a mentor, it could be a boss, whoever it is. That's the person who actually is ahead of you. Maybe someone with gray hair might be ahead of me, or no hair might be ahead of me, Greg. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Tell me what it's like. Then we've got people around us who are our peers, our colleagues. Everyone's got students, people who are on the sort of the same level as we are, the same sort of expertise. They're always around us, encouraging us and teasing us. And then we've got people who are behind us, and I don't mean beneath us, I just mean behind us, who don't necessarily have as much life experience as we do. Or maybe are a junior in the company that we're in, and we're trying to be helpful to them. We always have people that are within that orbit of our life. We are the center, but we have people ahead, people on the same level, and people behind us. And the thing that we learn pretty soon is actually we have spheres of influence in all those areas. Your boss, for instance, is watching you. You may hate it, but your boss is watching you. What he sees is your responsibility. What your teacher sees is your responsibility. In other words, your sphere of influence. You have the ability to influence people. Now, for those of you who are management gurus, you will understand that this is something called 360-degree leadership, where actually we are leading in all directions of our life. So actually, if we behave well, our boss will see us behaving well. If we're behaving negatively or badly, that will affect how they react to us. Same so with our peers around us. We have an opportunity to affect positively or negatively those around us, those on the same trajectory in our life. How we behave, act, or live will influence those around us. You either lift them up or drag them down. So it is also with those that we are mentoring. Those we are mentoring are watching us. The way we eat, the way that we talk, the way we joke, the way that we are serious, the way that we're not serious, the way that we worship, the way that we enact our life in employment. They are watching us going, "Do I want to become like this person?" How you behave will influence how they behave towards you. Paul is someone who understood this deeply, which is why he could have the confidence to say, follow me as I follow Christ. So I'm going to look at those three directions, as it were, even though it was four arrows, or eight arrows, but you know what I mean. Understanding that we're here and we're living and that we have a chance of influencing people's lives, and understanding, therefore, that we are in a position of leadership in life. We are life leaders. Why? Because we have Jesus in our life. Jesus is the light of life. Jesus is the life. People are living in death at the moment. We have life in us. That means that we are leading a world who is dying. We are infecting it with life. Therefore, we have an opportunity to lead others around us. So we lead, first of all, those who are looking from above. So that's why Paul says, that's right. Let's read this together. I like us reading together. It's so much fun. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Oh, stop there. Oh, I don't like that. Don't cause anyone to stumble. It means that actually how I live can cause someone to stumble. I don't like that. But it's the Bible, so I suppose I've got to do it. Don't cause anyone to stumble together, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God. Oh, stop. Oh, no. Does that mean that not only people outside the church, but people inside the church I can cause to stumble? Yeah. Oh, no. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am seeking not my own good, but the good of the many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow Christ. First of all, Paul is making sure that his focus is where it should be. He is focused above. He's focused on his greatest mentor. And his greatest mentor is Jesus. The resurrected, risen, ascended, awesome Jesus is the bar height that he is aiming at. What an extraordinary thing to say. Copy me. Follow my example as I follow Christ. I have to say, I don't think I could say that with great confidence. Because I know my multitude of weaknesses. I don't want my weaknesses to be replicated in the people that are looking at me. We need to be careful how we live, but actually I've understood that actually part of the role of me in Christ and you in Christ is to get rid of this I don't want and realize that it's part of the package. Part of the package is to live as a role model and also to take our role model as the highest bar, that is Jesus Christ. Imitation is about who we want to become like. How high are you aiming? Are you aiming just to keep your head down? Just to get through without too many bruises? Or are you aiming really high? This is not about money or status or wanting to be the next rapper or the next greatest salesman or the greatest builder that the world has ever seen. This is about character. In seeing those that we want to emulate, we study them. We learn their ways. We ask them questions. We become their disciple. We're looking above to those who are mentoring us. Do you have a mentor? Do you have someone who is stretching you in your faith? Or have you plateaued? It's so easy to plateau. It's so easy to be comfortable. It's so easy not to be stretched. I'm sure I've shared the story before, but for the sake of boring you, I'm going to say it again. That I remember distinctly two characters in my life that have had an indelible mark on me. The first one was an American pastor. I only heard him preach once. He's from Long Beach, California. And his name was John McClure. He was in the Vineyard Church, and he preached from the book of Corinthians. And I saw this man who was so energetic. Sweat was flowing off him, but he wasn't shouting at people. But he just loved the Lord. And he was just amazed at everything that Jesus was doing. And he was calling people forth in faith to be better than they were, calling them into the possibilities of Jesus Christ. And I was sitting right at the back of the church, right up in the balconies. And I looked at him and I went, that's what I want to do. I want to be an inspiration for others. Now I've got a long way to go, but I'm setting my bar high. The other person who was a real influence in my life was my vicar called Sandy Miller. I worked with him for 10 years. Never did I hear him speak a cross word or raise his voice. He was always gracious, always kind, always forgiving, always forbearing. The fruit of the Spirit was just dripping off him. Such a godly man. And somehow just being near godly people, you get a bit of rub off. It just sort of falls off on you. And so some of my turns of phrase are now his turns of phrase. Some of the ways that I angle my head, sometimes the way that I preach, it's him. And Miles, do you remember Miles coming in from Kuala Lumpur? Miles came in and I had a little conversation with him and he said, do you know, that's just like listening to Sandy Miller. I said, really? Could it possibly be? And he said, yes. And I listened to him and I could tell within 5 minutes who his mentor was. Because he sounded exactly like Nicky Gumbel. And he worked for Nicky Gumbel for 8 years. He was his associate pastor with him. Who you hang around with and who you spend time with, you rub off on. Interestingly, Miles said, and this is actually for the next point, but I'll say it now. He said, your friends are a photo of your future. Who you spend time with and who you try to emulate will be a determining factor of who you become. If you hang around negative people, you become negative. If your role model is someone who's not really nice, you'll become somebody who's not really nice. Set the bar higher. The disciples were disciplined. They came under the tutelage of Jesus in order that they could become like Jesus. They set their bar higher. Many of us set our bars far too low. You can do the Frosby flop rather than just the scissor jump. You can do it. God is calling each and one of us higher because he wants the world to be changed through you. We have an influence of those around us. Share a story about a boss who watches. Bosses watch. A guy called Gibbo. This is a real person. Gibbo worked for Gordon Selfridge in London. Have you heard the story? Yes, you have. Wonderful. Gibbo worked for Gordon Selfridge, and he was an office junior at that point. And Gordon Selfridge came into the office. They were working in the same sort of office space. And the phone rang, and Gibbo picked up the phone and then said, oh, Mr. Selfridge, the phone's for you. And Gordon Selfridge says, tell him I'm out. And Gibbo held the phone and said, you tell him you're out. So he took the phone and he yabbered away. He put the phone down and then tore shreds off Gibbo. He said, why the heck did you do that? You made me very embarrassed. This is terrible, terrible, terrible. Why did you do that? I told you not to. Why did you do it? He said, Mr. Selfridge, if I can lie for you, I can lie to you. Integrity is key to our life. How we walk is more important than how we talk. And Gibbo became Mr. Selfridge's closest confidant and advisor in the development of that. Read with me, if you could, from Titus. Similarly, that's a hard word to say, isn't it? Similarly. Everyone together, similarly. Similarly. Thank you. You all sound very ridiculous. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Let's stop that. Let's turn to a young man. Find a young man somewhere to say, be self-controlled. Be self-controlled.
Be self-controlled.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. That's wonderful. Harry probably can stand up and tell all the men to be self-controlled because he's probably one of the more senior gentlemen here. But we won't embarrass them to do that. Be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech. Integrity, the Greek word integer, means whole. Be whole. Don't be in parts. Be whole. Live what we believe. That will affect how those who are around us see Christ. Billy Graham said, integrity is the glue that holds our way of life together. We must strive to keep our integrity intact. He also said this, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. Strive to live with integrity. It will help those above you see Christ within you. I want to know Christ, Paul said. He's my bar. Secondly, friends, we live to lead. We live a life of leadership, understanding that we are people of influence by investing in those around us in our peer group, that we have an opportunity to change those around us. Whatever you see in me, Paul writes, whatever is good, whatever is marvelous, whatever you've learned or heard from me or seen in me that's positive, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. I am seeking the good of the many. Follow me as I follow Christ's example. You are surrounded here in this room by role models. The thing that you'll then realize is that you are a role model to others because you are all role models. It happens at parties, it happens at churches, it happens at works, in employment, at school. How we choose to engage will affect those around us. An example, there was a chap who was in my previous church. He came up to me and he said, Fraser, I love going to New Wine. I said, brilliant. How fantastic is that? And I love these conferences where there's great worship and I just feel that I could just really let go and just give God everything. But I can't possibly do it here. I said, why not? Well, people are looking. Yeah. People are looking. We set the environment we want. We affect those around us. We're called to journey with people, not as islands. Friends, if you're not in a life group, I would suggest wholeheartedly that you join one. You cannot grow in Christ without rubbing up against someone that you cannot bear. The reason that a diamond gets a beautiful face on it is because it has been ground down. We grind one another into the shape of Christ. Get connected. We cannot live and we cannot worship in a bubble. If you come to church just on a Sunday to tick the Sunday box, you're missing a trick. Where are you in putting into relationships and where are you serving? Those are the places where we grow. We value here servant-hearted activity, love for others, the desire to serve rather than be served, to prefer one another, to see something that needs doing, and instead of telling somebody that needs doing, do it ourselves. If we see rubbish in the car park or in the garden, thank you, gardeners, for all your service. That's hidden most of the times. If you see rubbish in the street when you're outside your office, do you pick it up or just walk past it? Be a tiny Kiwi. We see things that need doing in this church. We invest ourselves in it. If you can't bear something, be the person who changes it. Be a force for good. Romans 12, honor one another above yourselves. Oh, really? Yeah. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If there are people here who are feeling that your battery is at about 25%, I would encourage you to have a look at your life and see where you're serving. Some of you may be exhausted by over-serving. Others of you may not be serving at all. Keep your spiritual fervor by how? By serving the Lord. As you pour out into others, as you serve, so the Lord fills you up, increases your fervor and your zeal. There should be a competition, I think. And the Bible refers to this. Paul refers to it. Outdo one another in showing love for one another. What a great competition. Outdo preferring one another. No, 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 after you. No, after you. No, 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 after you. We'd never get through the door of the church. No, after you. No, after, no, you have the best seat. No, 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 you have the best seat. Outdo one another. Prefer one another. No, 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 you must sit here. No, 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 I couldn't possibly. Shall I sit with you? Yes, let's do. Shall we sit towards the front? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, yes, we must. Prefer one another. Lead people on. You see, sometimes we have this sort of competition as to not only to who can take the lowest place, but actually who can have the lowest requirements. And we sort of join in with them on that. Let's join in on raising a higher requirement with joy. Because, friends, we influence those around us. You are a culture setter, not a red setter. You're a culture setter. Friends, we also realize that we are influencers by the fact that actually we will influence those who are behind us or below us. Understand that Paul had Titus and Timothy that he invested and put his life into. He wrote letters to them, emails, anything that he could get to them. He poured into them. Why? Because he wanted them to become even better than he was. He wanted to see the world changed. Let's have a little look at this, shall we? For you yourselves know how you ought to... Come on, everybody. Put your glasses on at the back. I know it's a long way away. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. By the way, there's a cake sale on at the end. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. Who are you being a role model for? Are you being unhealthily sarcastic? Are you being amazingly joyful? Are you leading people into possibilities or impossibilities? Oh, no, we couldn't possibly do that. Oh, yes, we can. Mark 6, Jesus took his disciples And they were having a really great time, just in the beginning of Mark chapter 6. Going about, he couldn't do many miracles where he were, except lay his hands on a few people and heal them. Okay. By the way, we had someone healed here the other day in Alpha. I'm going to pull them up, hopefully next week, and talk about that. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. There's another sermon there for you, but I will skip over that for a second. Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority. He thrust those behind him into responsibility before they thought they were ready for it. Most of us do not think that we're ready for that which God is calling us into. But until we step into that which God is calling us into, we'll never step into it. Jesus is calling us on. You are calling others on to replace you. How are you doing at replicating who you are? He invested in 12 disciples. 11 turned out quite well. That's not a bad return on 3 years' investment. Elijah. Elijah's had enough. I can't remember her name now. What was that ghastly woman? Jezebel, that's right. She was after Elijah. Well, she was a ghastly woman. Come on, she wasn't. She was, honestly. Jezebel was after him. He just fought the prophets of Baal, killed them all. Hurrah, blood and guts. And then he went off. And then the Lord said, you haven't finished, Elijah. And we love the earthquake, and we love the fire, and we love the this and that and the loud noise. We love the whisper, because that's such a lovely, comforting thing that Jesus could talk to me when he's whispering, and it's lovely. But actually, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is what God was whispering to him. And he says, go now and anoint a king, and now anoint your replacement and train them up. If we think that we are irreplaceable, we are hurting the church of God. We need to be investing in our replacement. The adage that often we use, don't we? Oh, well, if you want to get it done right, you've got to do it yourself. Simply won't work. If you want to get it done right, bring someone with you and teach them how to do it. This is how Jesus did it. Sure, you heard this from Miles, but this is how he did it. He said, watch me as I do it. Okay, watch me. Now ask me questions about why I'm doing it. Okay, now I want you to do it with me, and I'll teach you just as I'm doing it together. Then we'll talk and we'll ask questions. Now I'm going to step away, Jesus says. Now I want you to do it. You send off the 12 to go and heal the sick. Now come back and ask me questions. I bet you there are lots of questions. Then I'll explain it a little bit more to you. Okay, now I'm going to die and go to heaven. Now it's all over to you. Do you think the disciples felt ready? No. But do you think they felt trained? Yes. Jesus was not working on an irreplaceability model. He was working on a duplication and replication model. And same with each and every one of you. You have a responsibility to find your replacement. Whichever area of service is to mentor and raise up an army of servants. That's our role, our influence. Friends, you have a role of influence. My training vicar, a guy called Mike Clarkson, interesting chap. I've overrun, but it's all right. I'll finish in a second. I was just enjoying myself. Is that all right? Yeah, you're so kind. Mike Clarkson was a lawyer for an American oil company. The minute he got a position, he found someone who he think could do it better. And he taught them. He employed them and he taught them to do his job. So eventually, he didn't have anything to do. So his employers then said, oh, well, we better give you something else. And we'd give him a slightly more important position. Then what did he do? He went and found somebody else who he think could do the job better than him. And he trained them to do his job. And then eventually, he had nothing left to do. So what does employers do? Oh, better give you something else. Eventually, a lawyer ended up overseeing the installation of oil refineries. Extraordinary thing. But actually, he understood it. And then God plucked him out and made him a Church of England vicar. Oh, my Lord, what are you doing? But actually, he took that model in again and again into every single situation that he went into. Because we're here to replicate and duplicate the mission and ministry of Christ. That is your role. That is my role. It is our role. Friends, we have influence in three major directions. We need to set our bar high. We need to set the bar for our peers and colleagues high. We need to be willing to jump that high. And we need to set the bar for those that we're mentoring high, understanding that they're looking at how high we jump as to how high they can jump. Don't do as I do. No, don't do as I say. Do as I do. Friends, here's the quiz. Who are these people? Mother Teresa, Peter Burling, Winston Churchill, Stephen Adams, John Lennon, Jeff Goldblum, Chris Martin from Coldplay. Now, friends, all of those people have character traits that you either admire or detest. But actually, a lot of them are great role models. They understood that the way that they lived affected others, affected nations, affected peoples and nations, and won us a few medals as well. But friends, how you live is no different than how they live. How you choose to live will be key from now on. How high are you setting your bar in Christ? We're raising an army to change this nation. Shall we stand? Lord, we love you. Lord, would you help us, Lord? Help us be willing to serve you. Help us set the bar higher for ourselves than we have currently so far. And that, Lord, as we affect our peers, as we look to mentor, Lord, change us and change those around us, we pray. And right now, Father, we choose to let go of pride. We choose, Lord, to let go of dignity. We choose, Lord, to repent of self-importance. And we say, Lord, here we are. Use us. In Jesus' name. Amen.